Chapter 21. "This is your idea?" Hands on her hips spoke louder than the tone of her voice. "Well, I did say it was more of a concept."
"Joe, even for one of your ideas, this is crazy," Skippy chimed in. "What the hell do you think you will accomplish?"
With the toe of a boot, I nudged a pebble into the shaft. It fell and splashed into the black water.
"Well, these shafts are vertical, right?"
Without waiting for an answer, I pressed ahead.
"This one must parallel that spiral tunnel."
"Parallel, yes, maybe. What good does that do?"
"You also told us these shafts were created to bring in equipment too large for the tunnels."
"Yeah, so?"
"So?"
I tried scanning the water on infrared, but it didn't show anything. That water was uniformly cold.
"The gear in that spherical chamber got there somehow."
"Huh. Okay, that makes sense," Skippy admitted.
"But there was only one access to that chamber."
"There is only one way to access it now, down that spiral tunnel. Can you run back the recorded sensor data, look for where there could be another way in that got sealed up later?"
"That sensor data is vague, Joe. We weren't looking for concealed access points, and these Kristang suits don't have the best—"
Okay. Interesting.
"You found an access point?" I asked eagerly.
"No, Joe, I found a way to save 15% on car insurance.
Yes, dum-dum, I found another access point, or what might be an access point. I can't tell for sure.
What I did find is a feature of the chamber that makes little sense unless it was originally an access point. There is a slightly flattened weak spot about a quarter of the way up the wall."
"Is that weak point on the side of the chamber facing this access shaft?" I clenched a fist.
"You are such a smartass."
"The answer is yes," Skippy admitted reluctantly.
"Yeah!"
I pumped a fist in the air, then accepted a careful high five from Adams. With our powered suits, a full-strength hand slap could do significant damage.
"Joe, please, restrain your enthusiasm. I assume your plan is to go down into that shaft full of water, find a secret way into the chamber where we found the burned-out conduit? You will need to open an access between the shaft and the chamber, allowing thousands of gallons of water to flood the chamber and the tunnels above it. If you survive that, you need to contact Major Smythe, get past the bots, and bring the whole team up this shaft. You already almost drowned once on this planet. You should not be pushing your luck a second time. The odds of you getting out of there alive are like 97-1.
"Skippy, I really do not need your channeling your inner math nerd right now."
"Joe, I did not tell you the odds against your survival because I'm a nerd."
"Good, then I did it because I'm an asshole."
Adams rolled her eyes and I shook my head.
"It was your idea for us to go down in this freaking hole, Skippy. The only reason my team is down there is because—"
Joe,
Skippy said sadly.
"Your anger at me is really just your attempt at deflecting blame from where it truly belongs. This is all your fault."
"My fault?
You, trusted an ailing, absent-minded beer can. Totally your fault."
Adams nodded wearily.
"You can't argue with that logic, sir."
"Shit.
97-1 is great odds compared to some of the shit we've gotten into," Adams observed with a smile.
"We jump in, Colonel?"
The look on her face as she leaned over the edge of the shaft was distinctly unhappy.
"I was thinking we anchor lines to, I looked around the smooth walls, floor, and ceiling of the tunnel. There were no pins, rings, or anything else to tie a line to.
Well, this could be a problem."
"Is this where your plan becomes more of a concept, sir?"
She cocked her head with a bemused smile.
"Working on it, Adams."
"Skippy, if I set you down on the floor here, can you make yourself really heavy so we can tie a line around you?"
"Good idea, Joe. Except the answer is no, I do not currently have that capability, darn it.
You better put your thinking cap on."
Unslinging her rifle, she flicked the safety off.
"While you're thinking, I'll knock a hole in this wall. Unless you have a better idea."
I did not.
Skippy did not have an idea, but he did have an objection.
"Sergeant, remember when I advised Major Smythe against shooting at maintenance bots? The same advice applies to shooting explosive-tipped rounds at the tunnels."
"Well, crap."
I pulled him off my belt and held him up to glare at his beer can.
"You sure have a lot to say about things we can't do. Got any helpful ideas?"
"Nope. I'm not a monkey, Joe. Helpful ideas are your job. I suggest you think fast. Him telling me that was super helpful. Not. All right, I told myself, back to basics. Specifically basic training. When faced with an obstacle or challenge, first consider what resources or assets are available to you. What did we have with us? Plenty of nanofiber cable, thinner than monofilament fishing line, but capable of holding tons of weight. Winches attached to our belts, and nothing to anchor a line to. Or maybe we did. Skippy, that fancy glue we have for fixing leaks in suits and stuff like that, how strong is it?
It's not glue, you ignorant cretin, he sighed.
It's a paste, packed with nanoscale, yeah, blah blah blah, nerdy geek talk. If we used a big glob of that paste gook on the tunnel floor, could that hold a line?
Glob?
Joe, that paste gook, as you so, he huffed disgustedly. I can't even describe your astonishing failure to understand, he sputtered to a stop. The nanomachines in that adhesive are so far beyond human technology or even comprehension. Hey, beer can, Adams interjected. Yes or no?
Yes, Skippy snapped irritably.
You monkeys, shut up.
Adams wasn't taking any crap right then.
The next words out of your mouth better be instructions on how to use that adhesive, or I'm dropping you into that flooded shaft. As you said, Skippy, we didn't find a conduit, so you're pretty much useless to us.
Instructions? Okay.
I had never heard Skippy sound in chastised before. He made a sound like nervously clearing his throat.
Here's what you do.
We dropped into the flooded shaft together side by side, letting the winches on our belts lower us steadily, but not too quickly, so our armored suits could adjust to the increasing water pressure. With Skippy providing guidance, we descended until he estimated we were at the level of the spherical chamber. Then we began scanning for concealed entrances to the chamber.
Adams, I switched my visor view to infrared and used a glove fingertip to feel along the slimy wall in the murky water.
What we're looking for could be very subtle, if the Elders sealed up the access and filled it with concrete or whatever this shaft liner is made of.
Understood, sir, she replied from about a dozen meters below my feet. But it could also look like this giant circular door right in front of my face.
You found it already?
I activated my winch to let out more line and descended to her level. Sure enough, there was a big, obvious door with a big hinge on the right side, but no other visible mechanism.
Sergeant, you are truly amazing.
Skippy, any idea how to open this thing?
There is no lock mechanism I can interface with, Skippy reported.
You will have to cut the hinge off.
Adams had a small plasma torch with her, so she began the slow process of cutting through the hinge from the bottom. She was concentrating, and I had nothing to do, so I stupidly wanted to fill the awkward silence. Seeing how the plasma was making slow progress against the tough material of the hinge, I estimated we were going to be there 10 or more minutes, and I couldn't stand simply hanging on a line while Adams worked. It occurred to me this was the first extended time we had been alone. Truly alone. During the mission to reactivate Mesa projectors on Paradise, we had been hidden in the jungle living in a stealth dropship. But other people had been in the jungle with us, and we were busy pretty much the whole time. In the shaft under Gingerbread, no one could hear us talk, except Skippy.
Adams, I said as nonchalantly as I could muster right then.
We never talked about what happened to you in that Kristang jail on Paradise. The little guy in the back of my brain, who was way, way smarter than me, tried to stop the words coming out of my mouth, but I ignored my subconscious until it was too late. When I first met Adams, she had been naked in a jail cell, and from the scars on her back I could tell the lizards had done awful things to her. She had never said anything about her experience there, and I had never asked. Psychologists on Earth declared Adams and Desai fit for duty, despite my reservations, and I had accepted them as official members of the Merry Band of Pirates.
Really, sir?
Her focus did not waver. She watched the plasma cutter intently.
You want to talk about that now?
Sorry, I replied, stricken. I'm bad at small talk, I guess.
I suck at small talk, too. The Marine Corps didn't consider chit-chat to be a core skill.
Sorry, I repeated. I wasn't looking for lurid details of... How the hell was I getting out of this conversation?
Of what the lizards did,
That's none of my business. I wanted to... How did you find the strength to keep going?
Discipline, sir. And hate.
That time she did glance away from the torch for a split second.
Hate? Hate is a powerful motivator. That I did learn in basic. What happened to me in that jail, to all the women who didn't make it out of there, made me hate the lizards more than you can imagine, sir. After Kobamic, when we got that little civil war going, Skippy told me he estimated 50,000 lizards dead already before the Dutchman jumped away. He asked if that number bothered me, and I told him 50,000 dead lizards is a good start. On Kobamic, I had seen Kristang civilians for the first time, and I knew Adams would not rejoice at civilian death, no matter what happened to her in that jail. But I did share her sentiment. On Earth, the Kristang had not hesitated to cause civilian death. They had deliberately targeted civilians from orbit, resulting in mass casualties. Sergeant, there's a couple billion humans on Earth who feel the same way, and they don't know the lizards like we do.
I won't tell you what happened in that jail, Adams said without looking at me. I only told the Marine Corps psychologist because I was ordered to, and because I knew if I didn't tell them everything, I wouldn't be cleared to come back out here. I won't tell you, because I don't want to remember it, and I don't want you having that image in your mind whenever you look at me. Don't say you won't, because you will.
She emphasized that last with a glance into my visor.
I'm a staff sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. I don't want anyone's pity or understanding, which is almost worse.
Adams, I will tell you what happened to me when there was a knock on my jail cell door and you opened it. I thought I had been abandoned by humanity, my species, UNEF, my country, the Marine Corps. I thought they had all abandoned me to rot and be killed in that jail.
Nobody came to visit you?
No, sir.
That surprised me and dismayed me. Chang told me he had visits from Chinese Army and UNEF officials. Just before the Ruha hit the jail complex, I had a visit from a Marine Corps major, whose name I could not remember at the moment. He got killed in the hallway. Maybe he was on his way to see you next.
Maybe.
She did not sound convinced.
Is he where you got that uniform?
Yes.
I was alone. I didn't know what happened when the Ruha hit the complex from orbit. There was a knock, the door opened, and I saw your goofy face. Then you ran off to get clothes for me, like I cared about that.
You were naked, I said lamely.
So?
So you're a woman.
And?
As I did not have an intelligent answer, I gave her the truth.
It matters. When you opened that door, I told myself that I had not been abandoned. Somebody had gotten out of a cell, and instead of running off like you should have, another glance at me, you took the time and the risk to rescue me. Right there, that restored my faith in humanity. We may be ignorant. As far as the beer can is concerned, we may be dumb as a paramecium. We fight each other, we kill each other over politics and religion, we do horrible things to each other. Maybe every species is like that. But as long as there is one human out there who remembers what loyalty means, I've got faith in us monkeys. You not only saved my life, you restored my hope. So the next time I take a risk to save your neck?
She turned the plasma torch off to look straight at me.
Don't argue.
I heard that loud and clear, Gunnery Sergeant.
I'm a staff sergeant, sir.
She looked startled, which did not happen to Margaret Adams. You're a gunnery sergeant now. Consider it a field promotion. Hell knows you've earned it, and we've been away from Earth long enough. Even if you'd stayed on Paradise, you would have enough time in grade by now.
Thank you, sir.
She turned her attention back to the hinge and activated the torch again. I took that to mean she didn't know what else to say. Hell, you know this outfit. I forced a laugh. They'll promote anybody.
I heard that, she replied.
But I could hear the mirth in her voice. When she had cut three quarters of the way through the hinge, I had a bad thought. Skippy, when that hinge is cut through, what happens next? I've been thinking about that, Joe.
The hinge is on the outside, so the door is designed to swing outward. The water pressure down here is keeping the door closed even without the hinge. That makes sense.
Okay, so how do we get it open?
The door was thick and massive. No way could even our powered suits pull it away from its frame.
Now, here is where I recommend explosives.
I like that idea, Adams agreed.
Gunny, I used a new rank. Setting off explosives in the water will crush us.
Just then, I had another bad thought.
Hey, Skippy, what happens to us when it does open?
A massive surge of water will blow through the gap, carrying you with it and crushing you. Duh.
That is not optimal, Adams observed needlessly.
Relax, monkeys. The beer can has a plan.
That is a good plan, Skippy. I offered praise as we hung suspended halfway out of the water near where the shaft met the horizontal tunnel.
Of course it is a good plan, Joe. It is my plan, the beer can said smugly.
Yeah, except what do we do if those explosives don't get that door open?
Then we'll have to go back down there to plant more charges, and if the door cuts loose while we're working on it...
Adios, muchachos, Skippy finished my thought.
Chill, Colonel, Adams ordered. When it comes to things that go boom, I know what I'm doing.
Fire in the hole, she shouted as she eye-clicked to set off the charges.
There was a bark of muffled thunder, then bubbles erupted around us. Then the water level began to drop.
Here we go, I announced, as I let out line to descend as the water level fell.
The tunnel floor trembled under Smythe's boots. If he hadn't felt the tremor through the soles of his feet, the alert flashing in his visor would have notified him.
What is that?
Captain Giraud, standing to Smythe's left and retreating slowly as the tunnel-filling bot haltingly advanced, checked his own sensor data.
Tremor. I hope it is not caused by a bot even larger than this one.
The elder bot had been inexorably moving down the tunnel toward them, its limbs grinding and screeching. With its bulk almost completely filling the tunnel, there was no way to get around it, unless they used explosives. Smythe and Giraud had hurriedly developed a plan for the team to retreat into the chamber below. If the bot kept moving onto the walkway bridge, the team could use anchored lines under the bridge to get past and behind the bot and sprint up the spiral tunnel. If the bot halted at the entrance to the chamber, then the pirates would need to take measures Skippy had warned them against, such as disabling the bot with rifle rounds and blowing it apart with explosives.
If that tremor was caused by a bot, we are in... Major Smythe!
A call came from a Halchik on the scout team, far behind Smythe. Although their first trip down the spherical chamber at the end of the spiral tunnel had not revealed any side tunnels, Smythe had sent people ahead to see if any other way out could be found.
We've got flooding! There's water pouring in down...
The voice cut off, then returned.
Sir, we're underwater down here, said the voice under strain.
In the background, Smythe could hear the sound of the ranger's helmet being bumped and scraped against the tunnel wall, or ceiling.
The water is coming in faster. It will be reaching you soon.
Brilliant.
Smythe slung his rifle and secured it so it wouldn't be swept away by the powerful force of onrushing water.
What a cock-up. What bloody else can go wrong today?
Adams and I found the hole where the door had been, mostly by feel. The already murky water was so churned up by the air bubbles that visibility was barely farther than my outstretched hand. After crawling through the newly created hole into the spherical chamber, I tried contacting Smythe's team.
No reply. Adams, you got anything?
Nothing, sir.
We need to contact them. I don't think they would have come deeper into a flooded tunnel. They would have gone up, if they could.
Don't worry, Adams, I have an idea.
This idea isn't even mine.
What is that, sir?
Captain Giraud tapped the side of his helmet.
Can you repeat at last? I'm picking up intermittent interference on my comm gear.
Smythe paused, listening to Giraud's transmission. It was breaking up, and the interference was not entirely random. He held up a finger for silence, then smiled.
What does this mean? Giraud asked when he saw Smythe's grin.
It means our colonel read the after-action report from my trip through the sewers on Kobamek. He read the report, he paid attention, and he learned the same lesson I did. He also took the time to refresh an archaic skill. That is Morse code, Giraud.
Ah, Giraud smiled, understanding.
Captain, when I signed on with the Merry Band of Pirates, I thought our colonel was an affable, woolly-headed, average soldier who got lucky. I have come to realize we are very, very fortunate to have Bishop as our commanding officer.
Agreed. You are sending a reply? My own Morse skills, I am sad to say, have lapsed.
Replying now. This is interesting. He and Sergeant Adams are below us in that large chamber.
Didn't you order Adams to get the colonel and skip it to safety?
Fortunately for us, our Marine Corps Staff Sergeant is better at demonstrating judgment and personal initiative than she is at blindly following orders.
I have the full message now. We are to swim down to the chamber. Apparently, Bishop has found a way out of what I remember as a dead end. I will be interested to hear where he got all this water.
Swim toward the chamber? Giraud mused. That is good, as that bot up ahead.
He pointed to the hulking form still visible through the murky water and the enhanced vision provided by his visor.
Will not allow us to go anywhere else.
With a rearguard of two people maintaining visual contact with the still lurching, slowly advancing bot, Smythe's team swam downward at a moderate pace. There was no need for frantic speed, and Smythe wished to avoid accidents. When he came around a section of the dizzying spiral tunnel, the speakers in his helmet crackled, and he could hear Bishop's voice through the distortion.
"It is good to hear you, Colonel," Smythe said calmly, concealing his great relief.
"I couldn't leave Poole behind," Bishop explained. "She's supposed to be my babysitter."
"We are supposed to keep you safe, sir," Smythe protested.
"Hell, Major, I won't tell anyone if you don't."
"I am telling everybody," Skippy announced gleefully. "Surviving an idiotic stunt like this deserves to be commemorated big time. Although, we haven't actually survived it. Yet." Skippy continued to be skeptical as we ascended the vertical shaft. Then Smythe insisted Adams and I be the first two people to winch our way up to the tunnel. Surprisingly, the water level in the shaft was only a couple meters lower than it had been before we blew the access door. That made me wonder where all the water came from. With us back on the dry floor of the tunnel, we were able to belay two extra lines, and as more people climbed out of the shaft, we had more people anchoring lines. Sooner than I expected, the whole team was out of the water, and we began advancing double time up the tunnel.
"Any bots up ahead of us, Skippy?" I asked fearfully. That trick of using the vertical shafts was not likely to work a second time.
"How should I know, Joe?" he grumbled.
"Ah, I think we should be okay. We are so far from where the damage occurred, the maintenance bots up at these levels won't have any reason to see us as a threat, or even a nuisance, I hope. See, this is why I insisted that stupid trigger-happy monkeys don't go shooting things, right, Sergeant Adams?"
"Speaking of shooting things," she retorted with a twinkle in her eye and a wink toward me. I took that as a good sign that our painfully awkward conversation in the flooded access shaft was forgotten, or should be. Skippy was skeptical, even when he saw the bright daylight of the tunnel's entrance and the team came out into bright sunshine. The surface team, while supremely anxious after the bots had shut down our comm relays, had followed my standing orders, maintained discipline, and not entered the tunnels to search for us. Although Lieutenant Williams of the SEALs team later admitted he had been within about 3 minutes of telling himself to screw the orders and bring his people down into the tunnels. Skippy was skeptical even when we boarded the dropships and dusted off hot, punching the throttles and flying supersonic right on the deck until we were 100 kilometers from the tunnel entrance.
"Okay, Joe. I think we're safe now. If not, then we're not safe anywhere on Gingerbread, so we are safe enough for now."
"You think those bots may follow us all the way to base camp?"
That was alarming.
"No, my concern is the bots in those tunnels may have communicated with other bots across the planet and instructed them that we are a menace. Unlikely, but there is some risk, so I mentioned it."
"Got it." "Crap, that will make it difficult for us to look for conduits in other tunnels."
"That will not be a problem, Joe."
"Why?" After we nearly got trapped underground, you thought of a better way to get a conduit? If there had been an easier, less risky way to retrieve a conduit from deep beneath the surface, I was going to be pissed at him for sending us down in that tunnel. No, Joe. What I meant was it's over. I do not know of any other potential locations to find a conduit on this planet. I am now convinced the Elders cleaned out everything useful when they left. We will not find a conduit down here, and I don't want any silly monkeys risking their lives in a futile effort to help me. The long flight back was glum. News had gotten around that Skippy was giving up on finding a conduit, and he suggested we do the same. Adams came over to sit near me. Gunny, I addressed her with a forced smile. None of us felt much like smiling at the prospect of being trapped on Gingerbread forever.
I wish you'd can that gunny shit, sir.
Sergeant? She sighed and rubbed her aching right shoulder.
If I get promoted to gunnery sergeant, I have to decide whether to go for the master sergeant or first sergeant for my E8 step. Right now, I don't want to think about any of that.
No, Colonel. She held up a hand. I appreciate the gesture, but a promotion out here doesn't mean anything. It means you're accruing pay as an E7 instead of E6. It sounded lame even to me.
You can loan me the difference.
She sat back in the seat.
You are refusing the promotion? Rank is an advantage. Never give up an advantage in a combat situation.
Yeah, somebody told me that once, or more than once. Except, remember, I sat back in my seat more weary in my soul than I had been since when? Since I was in a Kristang jail on Paradise waiting to be executed for the crime of holding on to my humanity. This is not a combat situation, Gunny. We're going to be farmers here now, and we're never going home.
Really? Then why are you doing that twitching thing with your fingers? The thing you do when you're working on a plan?
I do that? I said, forcing my fingers to be still.
You do. You also talk to yourself. Your lips move without any sound.
Crap, I'm that obvious?
Not to you, you're not.
She laughed softly. It was good to see her happy. It made me feel good.
What's this plan you're working on?
Right now? I leaned closer to whisper in her ear. It didn't even make me uncomfortable to be that close to her, which surprised me. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. We had been through a whole lot together. I need to sell Count Chocula on an idea.
He's not going to like it, is he?
No, he'll love it. It means he gets rid of me for a while.